This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi, and welcome to all of you who are joining me today. This is actually podcast 101. Every time I say those big numbers, I'm always surprised that I've done this many shows for you guys, but I'm happy to still be here. And this is actually an extension of a communication series I've been doing. And today we're going to talk about communicating with friends, and that could be applied also to extended family. Well, you know what? Today I decided to bring along a friend, and so I have a very special guest today, and that is Dr. Sue Ellen Nolan. Welcome, Sue Ellen.
Thank you, Felice.
Well, Sue Ellen has no idea what I'm going to say here, so I will share a little bit about Sue Ellen from my perspective, and that is that Sue Ellen is a real-life friend of mine. She is a homeschool mom here in Fort Myers and had been for many years, and Sue Ellen and I met that way. And so through the years, I have watched Sue Ellen grow and, just become this amazing educated person now and just got her EDD, which is a doctorate of education. And so, Sue Ellen, you've always had a heart for, pastoral counseling and working within that realm. And I know, Sue Ellen has a background in theology and psychology and human services and consulting and on and on. And so I managed to convince Sue Ellen to come on. And as I told her before we went live, my friends are always going, okay, what is she getting me into now? But I know that, Sue Ellen, you can bring so much more to this discussion, and I thought this would be a perfect way to round out this series. And so, I just wanted to, again, welcome you and just get right into, the questions here so that we can make the most, the most of the show. So, great. I've been talking about communication and, first of all, the first in the series was, communicating with your spouse, and the second was with your children and family, and how important those things are. And I did a general overview of communication, actually, as one of the first in the series. So we're talking today about, communication as being an important part of interpersonal relationships. And so, because you have this background in working with people that obviously are having some problems, and communication is such a big key to that,
right.
Share with us some keys to good communication.
Well, I guess, across the board, it doesn't matter who you're communicating with, but, the big deal is that we want to hear the other person and we want to be heard. That's part of our human nature. We need to be, as part of who we are, and just existing, we need to be affirmed in what we say and what we communicate, and we need to know that there's one person in the world that hears us and understands us. So it's really affirming that other person when you're communicating. And St. Francis, in his beautiful hymn that he has, there's a line that says, "Seek first to understand, then to be understood." And, it's such a beautiful phrase, and it's really important because that's where our deepest understanding comes, when we share with somebody else. And oftentimes, if I do any kind of spiritual direction with couples, we break down communication and we take it right down to the basics so that the couple can relearn how to communicate, because over a period of time, you kind of establish your own communication techniques and skills and what you've used through your life, what you've used in your own family system, and what's worked for you and what's not worked for you. And you come together in a relationship, and whether it's a marriage or whether it's a friendship, and those are the things that you're using. So if I have a couple in my office, we're going to go to the basics, and I simply set them kind of face-to-face with each other, and I have them take turns speaking about an important issue that they have in their life that they're dealing with, and they get to speak out what they need to say. And before the communication can go any further, the person that's receiving has to pause and reflect on what they're saying and say it back to them, and so that that other person can really feel like they're fully heard. And then the initial person gets the chance to either correct it or just to say, yes, that's what I intended to say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've done this technique for many years with different people, and it's really beautiful. I actually had a couple weeks ago in here who had been married for 33 years, and we did this communication technique, and within the first few minutes, the wife broke into tears. And, you know, I kind of talked to her and had her kind of let us know what was going on with her. And she said, I just have never felt in our marriage that you really heard me. And now I hear that you do. And it was just so moving to her. And, you know, the husband felt very, you know, right there for her. And you can just see the connection between the two of them, how they fit together then. Their communication was clean and clear, and, you know, they really connected. So that's kind of the foundation.
Good. Yeah, and, you know, it's called a lot of different things, and we learned that as an educational tool called reflective listening. And I have to tell you,
sure,
Sue Ellen, that sometimes I felt in doing that, you know, it was almost manipulating. And so I had to realize that it wasn't, because it was interesting sometimes on how that could be used. So I had to rethink that whole thing too. And that's one of the things that I learned to do with my children, and, you know, to some degree have done with my friends. And that is, if you say something and it's not the response you expect, you know, like if you say something smart aleck, yes, you're going to get that, you know, you might get that rolling of the eyes or whatever.
Right.
But
right.
If you say something like, let's say, you know, could you pick up your clothes for my child? And they get really upset. And I would just look at my son and say, what do you think I said? And he would say, well, you told me to clean up my whole room, and how can I clean? And I said, no, all I said
right.
was pick up your clothes. You know, what
right.
did I say? And then he would say, oh, just pick up my clothes. So,
yes.
You know, that's allowing them to repeat back, if you will, or rephrase, as long as, you know,
right.
it doesn't have to be verbatim, right?
Right, yeah. And people use these skills, you know, these communication skills, and they make them their own. They do them really
mm-hmm.
formally at first, and then they make them their own. So we do. There's always an intent in what we want to say. And we don't often communicate that intent, or it isn't heard the way it's meant to be received. So we really have to kind of plug into knowing that the people communicating together have to define their terms right from the beginning. We have to know that you're speaking about the same thing that the person
mm-hmm.
is intending to speak about. So,
and that's the thing with communication. I've always said that a lot of times when there is a deeper communication issue, when there's, you know, something going on in a relationship, whether it is at home or your friends or even extended family, then they're very rarely what you are arguing about is the root cause.
Yeah.
And so that's what you
yeah.
have to look at.
Right.
And, you know, it's amazing. I do not have a psychology degree, but I did go to college with that in mind, and I was very, very interested in it in high school. So I'm like an armchair psychologist, which is the most dangerous type, right, Sue Ellen, as I'm speaking to someone who actually has an undergrad in psychology. You know, and so, you know, I look at things, and my family always says to me, you know, you look too deeply into things. But it really is true, and it's foundational, because I can see that in the relationships that I've had. And a lot of times when there is that, you know, reflection or, you know, response that is not what you expect, look a little bit deeper, look at that other layer and say, okay, what could have preempted that, which really brings us to our next point, and that is, you know, we've all done it. We've said something we regret, you know, something that possibly we shouldn't have said. And, you know, with we're going to kind of get into social media a little bit because that's where I have seen some people just act out of character, you know, because of the anonymity of social media sometimes. But like I said, we'll get into that. But, you know, we've all said things that we've regretted. I don't think anybody listening to this could say, no, I've lived my entire life, and I've always been very happy of everything that I've said. One of the things that is something I don't like, but it is how the Lord built me, and that is if I've been somewhere, let's say at a social gathering or something, you know, Mommy's Day at the park or whatever. So we remember right. all those park days we have
yes,
with the kids.
Yes, those great days.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah, we just like so looked forward to it because our kids could play, we could see them, and
we
have
could talk.
Time together.
Yes.
Yeah. But if I said something dumb, I could remember, I could recall the entire conversation when I got home and remember every stupid thing I said. You know, and so, you know, it just was disappointing. You know, like, well, why did I say that? Or I said too much, or I gave too much information. So when we've done something like that, you know, what are some ways that we can, you know, not we can't ever take back the words already out there, but how can we, you know, maybe minimize the damage?
Right. Well, you know, we do know words have power, and they can do many good things, and they can do many bad things. And we, you know, we have to really take the time to kind of evaluate how we respond to people and what the impact is. And, you know, if something goes wrong and you know that you've said something that has hurt somebody, or, you know, they're brave enough to bring it to you and let you know that they've been hurt by something you said, then, you know, it's important to really have humility and approach that person and, you know, let them know the situation. Let them know what your intent was. Let them know what your, you know, what your wording was. Let them know the way that you ideally had hoped to say, and make sure that you connect with them and ask their forgiveness and, you know, work through that both sides are comfortable with how everything is resolved, and then life can go on
right.
from that point.
Yeah, and I shared with you privately, too, that there was a situation in my life where I had to really pray to forgive a friend who had hurt me, and conversely, I had apologized to her, and, you know, it wasn't readily accepted. So every time I thought of this person, I just prayed to the Lord to forgive them, and it took quite a while for me to feel that peace and be able to think about this person without feeling anger. But every time I was feeling anger, I just prayed to the Lord for a blessing on this person, because I didn't want to be held, you know, in that anger. I didn't want, you know, the enemy to have any control over me. And, you know, and as I was sharing with you, probably if I'd had some spiritual direction along the line, it would have gone a lot quicker than, you know, just doing it on my own. But I really felt led by the Lord. And sometimes, you know, I feel like the Lord allows us to go through these things for however, like for me, it was 7 years, which is, you know,
right.
a biblical number. But it was that long. And, you know, in the capacity that I was then able to help others out of this type of situation. So for me, that, you know, asking for forgiveness and then also praying, which is, you know, with a response, a decision, and then leaving it to the Lord to change the other person's heart and also to change your heart.
Yes.
And so we're going to also, when we're going to talk about when someone has really hurt us, what we can do as well, and get Sue Ellen's take on that. But before we do, I want to go to a commercial break, and I also want to share with you where you can find Sue Ellen. I didn't say this at the beginning, but obviously Sue Ellen is a Christian counselor, and Sue Ellen is a Catholic. She lives in Fort Myers, Florida, and you can find her through her website, and I'm going to give you the name, and then I will spell it out. It is Imagio Dei, Spiritual Direction, so it's I-M-A-G-O-D-E-I, and then spiritualdirection.com. We are going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a Bible study for the entire family? Well, I created one after searching for months for a study that would encourage my family to have group discussions, teach life truth, as well as point to God as creator. So, since I couldn't find one, I created one, Homeschooling with Proverbs. I didn't want to zoom through the book of Proverbs in 1 month, as some suggest. Instead, I wanted to savor and meditate on the words and have the entire family on the same page. If you want a Bible study written for the entire family with specific audios and activities from pre-K to adult, look no further. This set can be used studying one lesson per month or completed in 9 months or sooner. The option is yours. In this set, you will find audios, printables, and when completed, you and your children will have a beautiful keepsake notebook. Visit homeschoolingwithproverbs.com for more information and begin studying the book of Proverbs. Allow God's word to speak to you.
Well, hi and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with Vintage Homeschool Moms, and with me on the line is Dr. Sue Ellen Nolan. And Sue Ellen's expertise comes in the form of counseling. She is actually a local girl to Fort Myers, Florida, but she is available through the internet, phone. You know, you can contact her through her website at Imagio Dei, spiritualdirection.com. And that's Imagio Dei, spiritualdirection.com. And I will have the link on Vintage Homeschool Mom Podcast 101 with more information about Sue Ellen and how to get hold of her. And I apologize, Sue Ellen, because she is Dr. Nolan, and I just have known her as Sue Ellen for so long. You know, she's my friend. We're so proud.
Thank you.
Oh, gosh. We knew you when. Oh, gosh. So, you know, my friends just put up with me. So, anyway. Okay. I do love you, Sue Ellen. Oh, and I know it's a mutual love because you're giving of your time to be on this show today. And I know your heart is for homeschool moms, too, because you were
Absolutely.
A homeschool mom for so many years.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, before we went to break, we were talking about, you know, saying something that we regretted. And now I really want to talk to you about, you know, because if it's something that we regret, we kind of take ownership and we can make that decision that we are going to forgive and ask for forgiveness. But what if someone hurts us? What if somebody, you know, has done something that is, you know, just very, very difficult for us to forgive? You know, what are some ways, and I know, you know, it's not a pat answer that you can give me. I mean, this show is short and you could probably talk about this for weeks.
Right.
And for all of you who are listening, I am trying to get Sue Ellen to host a podcast. So you can join me in prayer that she will, the Lord will lead her to do that at some point. But God set you up.
Pretty hard.
So, you know, what are some things that you can maybe just give us, you know, like things to think about or pray, you know, pray
right.
about?
Yeah, well, this is the hardest thing in relationships. You know, every person has something that they've had to deal with in this, with a personal friend, with a spouse, you know, with loved ones. This is a big deal. This is a hard one. And it takes a lot of courage to go and confront the situation. But for your emotional health, that is the best option, is to, you know, spend time praying about it. Let the Holy Spirit work through you. Let God lead you to what your words need to be and what you need to say. We need to have personal power and not the big scary power that kind of takes over the world. But we need to have that personal humility that says, I have the ability to confront when I'm hurt. I have the ability to mend relationships when I need them mended. And this is how we do it. And, you know, I found in my personal life, I lived in Canada for 10 years, and my best girlfriend there, who's been one of my best friends over the years, one thing that made our relationship unique was the fact that we made a decision from the beginning that we would confront each other if things started happening in our relationship. And of course they did. We were very close. Mm-hmm. And I remember being terrified the first time I had to go to her and tell her something. She had said it hurt me deeply. And what I found out, the big surprise at the end of it, of course, was that it made our relationship better. It was part of the, you know, the cement that took us through, and it just, it brought a richness to our relationship. I got to share the deepest wound that I had with her, and she got to help me heal it. And we did that consistently throughout our relationship. And from that point on, I make it a point. I try and teach my kids, you have to confront. Words have power. And there's, you know, if you've hurt someone or someone has hurt you, you can use any combination of the words in the English language to say what you need to say. And when you pray and bring God into it, he's going to help you to have those words and to resolve what you need to resolve. So I just encourage everybody to take risks. If there's situations where people have said things, and there's many ways to confront those situations. You can do it person to person. You can do it through a phone call. You can do it through letter writing. Definitely don't recommend texting. And we'll talk about that in a bit. But, you know, this is it's just a critical part of becoming mature, and it's a critical part of really building great relationships in order to have the best relationship that you're meant to have.
Right. And so what if the response is not what you expect? You know, what if the person is not willing to forgive or doesn't feel like it's their issue? What's the next step there?
Well, you know, like I said, we need to be affirmed in who we are. So it's really important that you say what you need to say and that you get out what you need to say. And so you can walk away, whether you have a resolution or you have an angry person or a rejecting person. It's important that you get to say what you need to say. Then, of course, we're going to go back to prayer because, you know, that's the one way we can heal wounds that we can't have healed in person, is to take them into prayer. And there's something that God's going to call you through if you're not going to get the resolution that you need. And just to really kind of accept that people are going to be who they are, and it's important that you just continue to be who you are through it. And, you know, find other people to support you, find other people who are your sounding boards that can talk you through it. And it's a process. You know, if somebody wounds you and they're not open to reconciliation, they're not open to accepting their responsibility in it, it's going to be a process. And it's going to be something that seasons you and, you know, takes you to a place that can bring you to a deeper growth. I remember saying to, you know, kind of with my kids, talking about how people would hurt them at different times in their life, and kids, other kids. And, you know, I'd say to them, you can go to that person and talk to them, but if, you know, if that's not an option or if you're not going to get any resolution, then you just need to make sure that you have done nothing wrong in it, that you are okay in what your behavior has been in it, that you have a sincere heart in it. And the rest of it is going to be left up to God, and it's going to be between God and them, and it's going to be their sin. And once you can kind of put that in that place and separate it from your own issue, then you're good. And, you know, sometimes we need support for that. Sometimes we need a person to talk to about that, a priest or a pastor, or, you know, like I said, a good friend to work through, you know, things that we don't get resolution to. There is always resolution if we choose to work through it. And, you know, and God always shows up in that if we choose to bring him into it.
Right. And that's the key right there. And I think for all of us, you know, that is the key that I know in my life, you know, God, I felt like God makes you capable, so you should be able to do a lot. But without God, everything else just is lacking. And it really takes the Lord to, you can plant those seeds, but it really takes him to complete it. And so sometimes that is, you know, the miracle that happens in these things. And I know you have witnessed that over and over again, Sue Ellen, you know, that with God being brought into the middle of it, because I know that's why you chose to work within counseling that was, you know, closely tied to a spiritual, you know, because your background is in theology, rather than to go the secular route, because you know, there's such healing and there's such grace that only God can give.
There is, and it's amazing. For 10 years, I kind of did things secularly, and then I just felt compelled to bring God into it. As my spiritual life grew, and I asked all the clients that I was dealing with at the time, and every single one of them agreed that they would like to do that. And over the years now, especially recently, I've seen how much more effectively and quickly God will heal things. And, you know, we set up the process, we invite him in, and he just moves. He shows up, and he just works at just such a deeper, beautiful level. It's truly amazing to see. It's hard not to spend a session without, you know, especially if something's intense, without being moved to tears, to, you know, just see what God does with people when they ask for him to come into the situation.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right. And the last question that we're going to have time for is responses on social media.
Right.
I know there's been a lot said in the media, television, radio, so forth, you know, talking about just horrendous things that are said on social media, a lot of it surrounding bullying and that kind of thing. And to me, it's like, you know, that there's an easy solution, pull the plug. You know, really, you're going to sit there and read that. But, you know, there's a whole nother thing. And like, you know, and all of everything that we're talking about, I know we could go into so much more depth into just segueing off into bullying. And I actually did a podcast about that at one point. And I just talked about it from a relational perspective within families and that kind of thing, because that can even happen if you have multiple kids. You know, sometimes that tends to happen. It shouldn't, but it does. And I've seen it in families, in my own, family. And so, you know, it's quickly squished or squashed or whatever. I don't tolerate, you know, zero tolerance in our home. But the thing is that, you know, sometimes you can say it's human nature or the sinful nature of man or whatever you want to term it to in a psychological or theological aspect. The really sad thing to me is that sometimes there are people that is their whole purpose, is to be negative on social media. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to just share briefly, we were hosting a Facebook party. We tend to do this once a month when we have our Mommy Jammies Night, which is an event that we host through the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, and it's just a time for moms to come together, kind of like our little coffee time, Sue Ellen, in person. Right. Remember our mommy nights out?
Yes. Yeah.
And so, good times. But, and so, you know, it was just a time to share. So instead of going out, we do it online. And so on our Facebook party one time, I had somebody who was hosting it for me, and an awesome homeschool mom friend of mine who does social media for me. And so anyway, I get this really angry response on Facebook, because when we have these things going, you know, our instant message is working and all of these things, and I see this lady is messaging me. And so I looked at it, and apparently she had been blocked from the party. Well, I didn't know why, so I get hold of my social media girl, and so she and I are chatting, and she said, I know this person, and she's very negative, and I did go ahead and block her. So I had to go back, and I apologized to her and said, you know, I'm the owner of the site, and yes, I have someone running this, and, you know, and like, kind of like, I'll deal with you later. You know, I'll talk to you about it later.
Right.
And she did at length. She emailed me and went into this whole thing. But it's interesting because, you know, I didn't know her. I when a party such as this is going on, there's a lot of things going on. But, you know, it's not like something we can always monitor, or in this case, you know, because we have the controls, you can block people. So if there's, you know, if there's something that's going on in social media and maybe you've been involved in it, I know, you know, that the things can be hurtful and be said. So just, you know, from your perspective, Sue Ellen, you know, what are some things that we can do that would be helpful you know, and some maybe some warnings before we post something that, you know, when we're upset.
Right. Well, we all have been there. You know, we've all had some communication, whether by text or on Facebook, where it's felt like there's an attack going on or things are being said that are being misconstrued and misunderstood. It happens regularly. And, you know, people come with a set of emotions that they have things going on, and regardless of the day, it can be different than the week or what's happening in their life personally at that moment. And they're gonna respond differently. And when you read something, it's a complete different reaction to when you communicate in person or when you communicate even over the phone, even though in person is ideal. We read body language constantly, and we read tone. And there's no tone in text or Facebook, so there's no ability to understand what that person is implying. And there are so many messy situations, and, you know, things just can get so quickly out of hand. And, you know, our youth are really learning to communicate this way, and they're really losing some great, you know, ability to communicate well together because they're continually communicating through media. You know, it's just really important. I think a lot of media communication, texts and Facebook needs to be like logistics and just simple instructions and basic information, but not communication of feelings except like pictures. You know, they have the pictures that have a saying on it. Those kind of things pretty much imply what they mean. But as far as discussing anything personal between each other or, you know, together, social media is definitely not the place. And it's really important to stand back and read what the intent can be and how it could be misinterpreted before you're going to send something. And you know what? It's just make a phone call. Making a phone call, we need even as adults, we really need to make an effort to communicate more by telephone because we are just not we're just not doing it anymore. It's very convenient just to text.
Right. And that was such a good point, Sue Ellen, about, you know, there is, you don't have that, you know, that visual with social media or even with text messaging. And I've done that with friends before. You go back and forth so many times, and it's difficult. And so I just will call, you know. My daughter did that this morning. She was asking me something, and so finally she just said, "Do you have a minute?" And I said, "Yes, you know, call me, it's easier." You know, but
exactly.
It's just, you know, sometimes it's easier, you know, you don't just disrupt what's going on, and you know, she's homeschooling and I'm homeschooling, so it's sometimes it's just easier to ask a quick question because we could talk forever. But you know, other times it's important to keep things in perspective. And you know, I know that there have been things that I have, I've wanted to share or I've wanted to post. And so what I do is I don't hit enter until I've read it a while. At one point, I was really big on the letter to the editors. And I remember early on in my marriage to my husband, I would go over to my in-laws' house. And little did I know that the gentleman across the street, my father-in-law's friend, was an avid reader of the letters to the editor. And so I had been highlighted with the letter of the week for something I was saying about the educational system. At that point, I was no longer teaching. And so when we walked into my in-law's house, because the neighbor had yelled out, "Great piece you wrote, Felice, I really enjoyed it." And I went back, you know, went into their house. My father-in-law said, "You know, is there any way you could change your last name if you're going to be writing into the paper?" You know, he was teasing me, of course, and we all got a good laugh out of that. But you know, I was very opinionated, and I had something, you know, would try to write it as eloquently as I could and get the, you know, the response. Actually, that piece was someone else had written in, and it was about homeschooling. And back then there was a lot of stuff going on about how people shouldn't homeschool. And one lady was highlighted with her response, and it just wasn't written in very good English. And so they really brought that piece out about how people weren't, you know, who weren't educated. So of course then I had to go and send in my little degrees and how not every one of us, and that the people that I knew, you know, and you know the same, our same friends, and, you know, who, you know, people were business people. You know,
right.
You had a counseling degree, and we have friends who are attorneys, friends whose, you know, spouses are husband, or their husbands are doctors, or, you know, very successful business people. They, and so on and on and on. Not everybody
right.
had a degree, but it didn't matter, you know. So anyway, that was what that piece was about. But we can
right.
tend to, you know, say things. So now what I do is I keep it, and I really think about it, and then I think about whether I want to hit enter or not. And then,
right.
you know, if I do, I have to realize that I'm going to have to go back and deal with the responses, and do I want to do that? So we just, you know, we need to remember that, you know, we're not an island unto ourselves, that, you know, if we do say something, you know, whether good or bad, that there's going to be fallout and that we're going to have to deal with it. So, you know, and actually I want to get to this last point. I know we talked about if we had time, but I want to just quickly throw this in, Sue Ellen, about the agreeing to disagree, because I talked to a friend just recently, and the response was, well, if you agree to disagree, then you're compromising your beliefs. And I think I told you, with age, I've come to the realization that I can't plant a seed and harvest it, and, you know, expect it to grow and harvest it. That's up to God.
Right.
And so I think for me that came with age. I wasn't.
Right.
I was a little bit more hot-headed years ago. Hard to believe. I know
some of that.
But what could you say? What can you share with us about that, Ellen?
Well, you know, we can do that. What we're really doing there is just sharing a bit of who we are. And both, if we kind of stand
mm-hmm.
back and look at it that way, we want to share our opinions on who we are. And we're not necessarily there to convince somebody. We're simply to look, show them our perspective on what our experience has been, and everybody's experiences, you know, are consistently different. And that's mutual self-respect. And that's really important to cultivate between two people. And we got to kind of find out places that we do agree on and meet there. And that's, you know, I always find that asking questions is a good thing to do when there's going to be situations where you're definitely not going to be in agreement on an issue. Ask questions, get some perspective, use questions to lead them into knowing more about what you think about the situation, but you do it in such a compassionate and gentle way that it becomes a conversation instead of a confrontation. And, you know, again, you got to make sure that everybody's talking about the same terms, because one person's idea of a word can be totally different than the other person's definition. And, you know, you want to use humility in those situations. We don't have a lot of humility that's being fostered in this world. And, you know, we really want to be able to come from that place. And, you know, when it all ends, you want to be able to walk away from that person. And they may not completely agree with what you said, but they're going to be comfortable having a continued conversation with you about it. And if they hear it again somewhere else, it might just pique their curiosity to check into it, and they're going to have, you know, a little bit more education on something they might not have looked at before. And, you know, there's an old saying that goes way back. I used to have it on the wall, my wall, when my kids were really little. And it says, people won't remember what you said, but they'll remember how you make them feel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want to leave that situation where you're going to disagree. It's not going to be something based in rage or anger or contempt. You want to leave it with just a mutual respect, so that you can walk away and go, okay, I might have given that person something to think about. I might have touched a hot spot for them. But people need that in their lives. They need to be shaken up a little bit and challenged with things that they believe, especially if it's something based on truth. And but you want to leave them to form their own opinion on it. People want to grow and progress on their own. They don't want to be told the way things are. So, you know, you got to kind of come from that perspective.
Yeah, very good, very good. And, you know, as you were talking, it made me think about the whole question about homeschooling and how, you know, a lot of people have told me even today, and we're way past the, you know, the benefits of homeschooling, whether or not,
right.
you know, I would think, you know, at this point in this stage in the homeschooling. But there still are, you know, a lot of people who are dealing with, you know, extended family or friends, and have to deal with things like, you know, well, you know, you don't have a degree in education, or you don't know what you're doing, or your kids are going to be socially inept, or, you know, any of those things that, you know, immediately you get your, you know, you're going to, your back's up and you're going to be upset. And so, you know, that is a situation to just really, you know, replay this audio. Sue Ellen had some great advice there. And, you know, it's not up to you, to convince them, just to let them know that, that this is what you're going to do and, you know, and continue on and just be confident in that. And now there's so much help. There's so many resources. I mean, we didn't have the online forums that are available now.
No.
You know, can you imagine an entire radio network, for example, of homeschool, you know, parents that are here to help, or even, you know, the Facebook groups, the, I know here, just here in Fort Myers, there are so many various homeschool groups and support groups and things like that. And when I started homeschooling, there was nothing, and I was actually one of 8 moms who started a group. So we've come a long way, but you are still going to have the dissidents that are going to be disagreeing, and it's just up to God to convince them and just continue on. But Sue Ellen, I am delighted that you took the time to come on with me here and share from a, you know, more of a, you know, a clinical or psychological or and theological perspective. And, you know, so appreciate you and your friendship through the years. And, you know, happy that you've moved back to Fort Myers because you were away for a while, you know, getting this degree, and glad to have you back.
Well, thank you, Felice.
Yeah. So, again, if you want to check into Sue Ellen and her website, she's got contact information on her website, and it's ImagioDeiSpiritualDirection.com, and it's ImagioDei, and then the word spiritualdirection.com. Once again, thank you so much for listening, everyone, and I will see you next week. Bye-bye and take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.